Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Bohorquez inside his 20. He takes a low snap. Ooh, he's under pressure. Punt is blocked. Punt is blocked by J.C. Jackson. It bounces into the hands of Gordon. Yeah. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
How about that, Bobby? Special teams, baby. You could tell something. They were sniffing something. The delay.
Making Matthew Slater.
Wow. Off the right edge, man. What a block off the right edge.
Matthew Slater with the recovery and the run back for the score.
Keep playing the game right there. Hour two, Felger and Maz. Patriots winning in different ways, which leads to your Rodenheiser take.
Yep, hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Heating specials now available. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. So look, going into this game, we all thought the same thing. We thought rock fight, right? Rock fight, defenses are going to dominate. And even at that point, the Patriots had scored in their second possession, and I thought, I'm still not convinced they're going to run away from this team. And then this thing happened. And I went, and I sort of like hit myself on the head. I gave myself a dope slap. As I looked at it, I said, of course, there's going to be another area that the Bills are vulnerable that we didn't even think about, which is special teams. And the Patriots completely exposed them on that play. Completely. Got in scot-free, blocked the punt, scored a touchdown.
There's been some interesting reporting on it. Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston. It's out there if you want to dig into it. They noticed that the Bills in the past had trouble with a very simple thing, which is those blockers on the outside, what do they call them, vice guys, the guys who block the gunners, okay? When vice guys come in into the regular defensive line, if you will, the Bills in past games had trouble adjusting to it and blocking it. It's really a very simple fix. There's a gunner out there, right, for the punting team, and then the defense has the two vice guys, or one vice guy, as the case may be, to block the gunner going down the field. So if the defense brings those vice guys into rush,
you bring the gunner in.
You got to bring the gunner in, or he's got to be accounted for, else they're outnumbered. Or the play is the punter throws it to the gunner who's now uncovered. It's very simple. And that's how you combat that. Simple enough. You either have an outnumbered number of rushers, so you bring in the gunner to block, or you have the punter receive the snap and just throw a little lollipop out to the gunner who's completely uncovered, and that's what you do. But the Bills had problems with that very simple thing in previous games. The Patriots picked up on it and exposed them on that punt right there. So this is why Bill was giddy about the game, because that was a Belichick game, not a Brady game, and this is why Brady was pouty, I guess. But that's sort of an example of it.
I mean, as soon as it happened, I went, you know, I knew, you had to know there was going to be somewhere that they would undress the Bills. And that was it. Again, as soon as it happened, I went, well, here you go now. And then I felt like we were on our way to Miami or the Jets again. Yeah. This was just a runaway.
But that play was picture perfect. You know, that's why he was so giddy after the game. That's everything that he lives for right there.
Okay, so as we said, back to you, as promised, let's go to Mike in East Boston. Jimmy on line 5 if we could. Mike in Eastie. Go ahead, Michael.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
What I got to say, I listened to you guys last week, and Tony, you really got under my skin, just really emphasizing how Brady's pouting and whining and all that. I don't understand. I love having a quarterback when he plays bad. He doesn't feel good. You know what I mean? Yeah, they won the game, but obviously he was frustrated the whole game by Buffalo, and he had a hangover from it. It's just, I don't understand it. It's like,
well, hold on. I mean, Mike, it's an interesting point. And thanks for the call, Jim. You can drop him. So he agrees that Brady is whatever. Mopey, disappointed.
Debbie Downer,
morose is what you said after the game. So the caller agrees with that Brady's not happy. Is that a good or a bad thing?
No, I think at the end of the day, it's probably a good thing. I mean, it means that Brady takes pride in the offense. He wants to be, you know, he wants to be a central part of the whole thing. What you don't want is for the thing to persist and drag on. Like, I think it's natural for Brady to have, you know, the emotions he's having about it. But at some point, you do say, snap out of it. Yeah, I felt like this was coming, though. I felt like this was coming. I felt like this game was going to be a rock fight. I think I told you 19-13 or something like that. I was expecting that kind of game, and I thought the offense is going to have a hard time in this game. Brady's pissed that Brown's gone. Edmund's so look, banged up. It's all coming that way.
Mike in East Boston, here's how I answer it. If he's pissed at himself, great. If he's pissed at what's around him, then I'd say not great. Again, end zone interception. You're on your way to your blowout. You are on your way to blowing them out if Brady doesn't throw that pick, which has nothing to do with his surrounding cast. It had everything to do with him. Okay, so if you want to tell me if he had a better receiving core, someone might be open. Like, I get it. But if he doesn't make that bad decision, you're up at least 16-0. There's no momentum on the other side. The Bills had gotten nothing going to that point. And so he should be pissed at himself. He also airmailed some throws. He also was jittery in the pocket. He didn't trust his line or his receivers from the first snap. We all sort of saw it. So if he's putting it on himself, great. And he's challenging himself, great. If he's throwing a pity party, like, oh, what am I surrounded by? Then I, you know, probably not great.
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. Again, look, last week you said it, right? I'm the comment that caller was talking about, I don't even think it was me. But he was throwing a pity party, and I think Bill knew it. That's what I think. That part of the reason Bill was happy about this is he knew we're going up against a really good defense. They've given us trouble. Edelman's banged up. Tom's, you know, pissed off that we lost Brown, as am I, but Bill can turn the page faster. So we're going to have a hard time, you know, dealing with this thing. And they came out of there with a W. Yeah. I think Bill thought there was a real chance to lose that game.
And the most important one of all that you're forgetting.
I don't need you. I can still win without you. Doesn't matter who's the QB.
So you think that's Bill's sort of feeling on that?
When do you hear him that pump?
That was defense and special teams. Yeah, I can see what
that's his forte. Said. That's what he loves.
Jake in Boston, what do you got, Jake?
Hey, 2 weeks ago, this show was champing the 19-0 talk, bragging that the team didn't need Antonio Brown based off of Josh Gordon's week one performance. And new accusers and stories were quote-unquote coming forward every 5 minutes. Rational people know not to make decisions after beating the worst team in NFL history and waiting for all the evidence to come in before making stupid personnel decisions. AB may be taking to Twitter, but once that $30 million guarantee turned into seven figures of legal fees, the accusers went silent. And I wonder why. And it comes back to Bob Kraft, who should be suspended instead of playing with the groceries yet again to the point of creating another Parcells Jimmy G rift with the greatest player in NFL history. And this time he put his own personal agenda above the team, which wasn't the case with Terry Glenn because he honestly thought Glenn was a good player, nor excusable.
Jake, all right, catch your breath. I got it.
He's our new Carlton.
Yeah. There are a lot of people out there blaming Bob Kraft today there, Murray?
A lot of those calls we took yesterday in the postgame, Beadle and I, it was a lot of people that were upset with Robert Kraft cutting the cord too early with Antonio Brown. I don't know.
People, what?
He was bad for business.
What makes you think? He was good for our business. What makes you think he'd still be here if they kept him? Because you want, file under self-destructive under the dictionary, and there's a picture of Antonio Brown. What makes you think it would have lasted? He'd been blowing himself up now for the better part of a year. Everywhere he's been,
it was all a matter of time.
So what makes you think that if they had overlooked this one, those threatening text messages, those harassing text messages, that there wouldn't have been something else?
Yeah, because Felga, Bill would have had the security guys tucking him in bed. They would have taken his phone, Felga.
Yeah. How come they hadn't gotten his phone to that point? They had 2 weeks they hadn't gotten his phone.
He was giving him a little space.
Come on. They're going to win on defense this year. Can you handle it? Orlando and Quincy. Yes, Orlando.
Hello. How you doing?
Good, man.
Long time.
Go.
Hi. I'm talking about the J.C. Jackson a sideline interception off of Josh Allen. So why did the CBS NFL analysis said that he should have been out of bounds because the ref got it wrong?
We're going to get to that coming up. Apparently, well, Steratore said it's because there was a Bills player who was standing out of bounds, who was contacting the ball when J.C. Jackson caught it, and because of that, it should have been ruled out of bounds.
Correct.
And they looked at it on replay, and Riveron blew the call.
Correct.
That's going to Steratore.
Yeah.
We'll play that sound coming up. You know, the Bills fans are complaining about the wrong call, I think. The Josh Allen, you know, knockout. I think it's that interception is the one they should have been complaining about if Steratore is right. They blatantly blew the call.
I mean, that's a huge one. You're talking about change of possession there.
That was a moment. So, again, we'll get to that here coming up in a minute.
Jackson had a good game.
Matthew in Framingham. Go ahead, Matthew.
All right, on one side of the coin, you had two quarterbacks on Buffalo with, you know, the four picks, the five sacks, the two fumble. Well, they didn't fumble it, but the two.
They were inept. Yeah, they were inept.
Yes. And then also on the other side of the coin, you have Belichick going for it on 4th and 8 instead of kicking the field goal. And that's why I think he was so ecstatic, because he ended up winning the game. What ended up winning the game was that the special teams touchdown. And the reason Brady was so upset is, Matt, I agree with you. I think it's both things. He was upset about losing Brown, and also, you know, I think that it's also the way he played. But I also want to say one more thing about Bedard. You know, as far as my obtuseness, listen, you know, it's not on purpose. And, you know, he wants to talk about how...
You're unintentionally obtuse. I get it.
Yes, but he wants to talk about how Brown and that they should, that they, like it was a foregone conclusion that he should have left. No, I disagree. I mean, we still haven't seen any proof that this was actually true.
Okay, so let's just put that to the side. We're not going to litigate the Antonio Brown stuff today. You think they should have kept Antonio Brown. A lot of people think they should have kept Antonio Brown. A lot of people think that they missed Antonio Brown yesterday, most notably Ben Volen, Tom Curran, and, you know, some very astute Patriots followers.
Matt in Framingham.
To which Greg Bedard wrote today on Boston Sports Journal, anybody throwing a temper tantrum about Brown or pointing out how the Patriots could have used him in this game is just being lazy or purposely obtuse. Or in case of Matt in Framingham, unpurposely, unintentionally obtuse.
Yeah, Matt, I don't think he was talking about you.
Bedard says Brown would not have made a difference in this game. He said everything was bad, mostly Brady. He says, and it's okay to say Brady wasn't good in a game and just leave it at that. There doesn't have to be a reason. You don't have to make an excuse for him and whine about his lack of weapons. I mean, this is true. I find this a lot from the Boohoo Brady crew. It's like whenever he has a bad game, it's, oh, they're not protecting him. Oh, what do you expect? Look at the way it used to be. My God, it started with, I got this. Yes. So I have, like most of my stuff, have stolen it from the great Kevin Mannix, who used to call it the Boohoo Bledsoe crew. Will McDonough, Cafardo, Borges, the whole Globe crew, because Bledsoe would feed the Globe guys all this stuff. And so whenever anything went wrong, hellacious Bledsoe interceptions, patting the ball, just Bledsoe's suckitude. Here comes Will McDonough. Here comes the late, great Nick Cafardo or Borges. You know, it's the line. It's the receivers. It's Bobby Greer. It's the Boohoo Bledsoe crew. It's everyone's fault except for Bledsoe. This exists for Brady, too. The big difference here being that Brady can actually play, and he's actually good, and maybe deserves a little bit of defending. But it's not always the line. It's not always the receiver. Sometimes he just makes a bad call, throws a bad ball, makes a bad play. Sometimes that happens, too. That's Bedard's point. And I can't say that he's totally wrong. But the offense is down. The receiving group is down. Your offense is up. You're going to win some games this year. 16-10, it's going to look just like that. Can you handle it? That's the question.
I can handle it. I had to look up, though, specifically what the definition of someone who is obtuse.
Slow. Obtuse. Yeah, no, obtuse is...
Dull.
No.
Slow to understand.
Well,
according to the web.
I always took obtuse. You're being obtuse, which is disingenuous. Purposely disingenuous.
I just thought it meant, like, aloof, but it doesn't.
No, dim-witted.
It means annoyingly insensitive. Annoyingly insensitive or slow to understand. Yeah. I've spent most of my life being obtuse, so I didn't even realize it.
Back with more and your phone calls. What are we going to get to next? Hold on. Just let me tell you. Oh, okay. Let's get to the Allen hit and the knockout from Jonathan Jones right after this.
Fault Lines in Foxborough.
No! Now the media is getting into it too. The big boys taking shots at Volen and Curran. We need love and unity. No!
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Allen takes the snap. The Pats are going to rush for it. He's under pressure. He escapes. Runs straight ahead. Angles left past the 40.
Yeah.
Shoulder down by Jonathan Jones. And tackled at the waist by Daron Harmon. And they stopped him short of the first down marker, it appears, and Allen is hurt.
It's a problem. He's a runner. He's a runner.
Two flags are thrown.
I mean, that's not intentional.
You know,
helmet to helmet.
He lowered the helmet.
He's 6 foot 5.
And being in a linear play.
There are two fouls on the
Jones
play, one on each team. Holding. Offense, number 73. Personal foul. Defense, number 31. Those penalties offset. Replay, third down.
There's no room in football for that. It's a shame to see a player like Josh, or any player for that matter, go down with a hit like that. I asked for an explanation, and I thought he should have been thrown out. But other than that, I'm not going to get into that at all.
That's the first thing that came out of my mouth on the sideline. If one of us did that to 12, we wouldn't have been in the game anymore. There's no way. There's no way we would have continued to play in that game. Even with the holding penalty that we had, offset penalty, no, there's no way, you know. And stuff like that, you know, we got to, obviously that's our quarterback. We ride or die with him. To see that happen, you know, Josh didn't slide, but at the end of the day, you can't. It doesn't matter if it's a running back, you can't head-to-head. And so that's why I wanted the confirmation from you that it was head-to-head, because I didn't get a good look at it. But like I said, if that was our quarterback, there's no way that you could continue playing.
Okay, so there's the Josh Allen knockout by Jonathan Jones. First you heard from McDermott, the coach, and then Micah Hyde. This is before I ask you your feelings about the hit. Can we all agree that Micah Hyde is right, that if someone hit Brady like that, they'd be ejected from the game?
No question. Well, sure. 100%.
Okay. So we agree on that, that Brady has a different sort of standard against him. Now tell me about the hit.
I did not think it was a hit worthy of discipline. I thought he went in to hit him with the shoulder. He saw the opportunity to drill the quarterback who was running, and he took it. But he did not go helmet to helmet, or I think he was leaning in with the shoulder, and he ended up popping him in the head. I don't think it was an intentionally dirty hit, but it came out that way.
By the letter of the law, and thankfully they don't call it, Josh Allen's the one that should have been flagged. He lowered his helmet and drove into Jones.
So that's silly.
It's not. Watch it again. Mike, by the letter...
Hold on. There should have been a penalty on Josh Allen?
By the way that they changed that rule last year,
if you
initiate contact by lowering the helmet, you should be flagged. Now, thankfully, they don't call it.
Allen initiates the contact.
So he should have been penalized?
If they still called it the way that they did in the preseason of 2018. Thankfully, they don't. Okay. I'm just saying it because that's the way. The letter of the law, that rule is on the books. Allen should have been flagged. That said, it sounded more violent than it actually was. That's one of those plays where the refs call with their ears, not with their eyes. He shouldn't have been ejected. Yeah, I understand why the flag comes in. He's the quarterback. They're trying to protect him. But it was a violent hit, not a dirty hit.
So I
think McDermott's out of his mind for what he said after the game.
Yeah, oh, yeah. McDermott's a little wound. You know, you could see it all day. Was he yelling at the Patriots coaches before the game to get off the field or
he's
something?
He's a red ass.
And he is a total red ass. He's trying, man. He's after you. Like, he wants it. So I don't really blame him for that, but he gets a little bit ahead of himself. So, yeah. You know, the thing about no place in our game, I agree. Too much and a borderline penalty. I would never say that Josh Allen deserved the flag, though. Like, that's kind of silly. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was borderline. I think Jonathan Jones hurt himself by standing over him.
Yeah. Oh, and cheering. Yeah, that was
stupid.
Yeah,
so that's sort of like he stood over him and hooted him. Like, now you're sort of asking for it. You know, especially a quarterback, whether it's a running quarterback or not. You're going to celebrate knocking out a quarterback in this league. You're toast. They're going to flag you. But the outrage in Buffalo, a little misplaced. But if we're just all being honest, if Brady had taken that shot, first of all, Brady would never have taken that shot. Right. He's
not reckless.
It's really a moot point. But if he had, Jonathan Jones would have been thrown out of the game. Probably.
No question. Yeah, no question. That's the part I think that's indisputable. Had it been Brady, absolutely, they'd have flipped out.
Okay, like I said, though, I think the Bills up there are arguing and complaining about the wrong play. We'll get to the play they should be arguing about coming up in a minute here. But back to the phones, as promised, Joe and Peabody, what do you got on the Bills quarterbacking?
What's up, guys? Is he suicidal? I mean, I'm with Murray to a certain extent, but accept the penalty. What does he expect? And Jonathan Jones, I saw he backed off. He could have murdered him, Mike. I mean, honestly, he could have took his head off if he wanted. You guys agree?
No. He backed off there?
If you watch it again, I mean, he really could have went right all into him. But he kind of just, like Matt said, kind of gave him the shoulder, not really fully helmet. He could have murdered that kid.
I think he murdered him.
Yeah, he saw the opportunity to hit him, and he hit him. He just didn't hit him with his head. Well, let me rephrase.
Why isn't it enough just to say the Bills are overreacting and it wasn't that bad of a hit? But it was borderline. Now you've got to go to he actually laid up on him and it should have been a penalty on Josh Allen?
Yeah, see, that's crazy. I mean, again, I think Jones just, he saw the opportunity there, say, oh, this guy's going to run with it. I can really pop him here. And he leaned in and he ended up getting him with the head. You know, but honestly, I think he was trying to hit him with his shoulder.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I really believe that. And so now I think Allen was bracing himself. I don't think he lowered his head to hit. I think he was bracing himself, and that's the way it looked.
Here's Dan and Quincy. Hi, Dan.
You know, I find it rich that Tommy, I overuse the word matriculate, Curran, and Benny Violin Volin would criticize the offense or say that it's an admission that it was because Brown wasn't on the field. Those guys camped out and protested down in Belichick's lawn to get rid of this friggin' guy. You got to be kidding me. At least you've been consistent. You didn't want the guy here in the first place. These guys wanted that guy not here, and he wanted him out. And it's partly because the media did what they did, and they lobbied the Kraft that he caved. Okay? So that's it on that. They are the biggest friggin' hypocrite. What's Tommy Curran trying to make a name for himself?
Would you stop? Danny, I think he's just pointing out that this is why they wanted a player like him in the first place, because Bill knows they're short at receiver.
That's an obvious statement. The guy's a phenom. I was hearing your colleague saying Moss was better than him. No way. This guy does everything.
Danny, he wasn't going to last. He wasn't going
to
make it.
Okay. Well, that's my second point. I want to get to Brady Pouton, but whatever happened to your Felgerism? 985, thou shalt not get somebody in trouble before they've done something. Whatever happened to that?
That's just a prediction. He wasn't going to make it.
Wait a minute. Well, you said thou, you don't
okay.
get people.
Danny, he wasn't going to make it. And
you
by the way.
You know that for sure.
Of course not.
Just wait to see it happen. Anybody who, this is all, you guys are so dug in on Brown that the winning on defense, look at nobody's going to say you'd rather have offense over defense, especially me. I've been preaching it to you guys for years. But 16-game schedule plus three? okay? Not every game you can win on defense. You got to play, and I know this is stupid. I'm going to put out the stupid cliche, complimentary football. 1 week your offense is going to pick up the defense and vice versa.
But, Danny, you're right about one thing. I'm so dug in on Antonio Brown, and I think I'm so right on Antonio Brown. I'm willing to root for the running game and defense, whatever it takes, and special teams, vice block, gunner, all that crap to prove to you that you don't need Antonio Brown to win. So, yep, that's true. There's a little bit of a take jihad going on over here. I will win in whatever way possible to prove that take right. You do not need Antonio Brown. The offense would be better with Antonio Brown, like, duh, of course. But that doesn't mean you're necessarily a better team or that he's worth the risk or that he would have made it. What makes you think he would have made it?
He started with a narrative that's really starting to drive me nuts for people that want Antonio Brown here and feel like he was railroaded. Oh, it's the media's fault? No, there's only one person's fault that Antonio Brown didn't last here more than 11 days. Antonio Brown's. Period, end of story. It's his fault. That impulsive idiot can't stop himself from picking up his phone and doing something stupid to harm himself and his team, whatever one he's on, whether it's Pittsburgh, Oakland, or here, again, for 11 days, because he's an impulsive a-hole. It's his fault. Nobody else's.
Yeah, and I would say to Danny, don't let me in. I've always valued defense ever since the day we came on the air. Like, I'll take defense any day of the week. And after whiffing on Humphreys and Cole Beasley and some other guys, I felt like Belichick really started to gear the team more that way. Hell, he drafted a freaking punter, for crying out loud.
Who, again, was amazing.
He was awesome.
The kid's a freak.
The guy's unbelievable.
But I think it all goes hand in hand, that on those times where your offense is grinding, you're going to need him. I think it was all part of the logic with Belichick.
Coming up next after Murray's update, the play the Bills fans should be complaining about.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Allen floats it downfield. Dangerous pass is picked off. Jackson.
All right, let's go back. Gene Steratore joins us right now. You've had a chance to look at this a few times. What have you seen here?
I have, Aaron. A very interesting play. As we see this defensive back possessing the football here, 1 foot is down. He has not completed the interception. And as that 1 foot is down, the ball is also contacting the receiver who is out of bounds. In my opinion, that puts the football out of bounds. That is not an interception. I have it as an incomplete pass because it is touching a player out of bounds prior to the completion finishing.
So, Gene, they clearly looked at it. Rolstead put the headset on, spoke with Al River on what do you think that discussion was?
I think they're looking, maybe they're looking at that bobble, and by the time the bobble then becomes a full possession, the number 11 from Buffalo really isn't touching the football. It's a very unique play. I don't know that I've ever seen it in my 20 years in the NFL.
So this is a play that I'm curious why it hasn't gotten more attention.
Yeah.
This was a big play. And I wouldn't have known it, but they went back to it on the broadcast. Jimmy, thanks for doing that. Sort of spliced it together. It was, they came back to it, I want to say, maybe even after the quarter break.
Yeah,
it was late.
It was like 10 minutes later. So this, again, just to set it up, the Bills had cut the lead to 13-10. It's a ball game. You know, they'd open up the third quarter with a touchdown drive to make it 13-10. Then both teams punted. They sort of went back and forth. And then that's when Allen threw that horrible sideline interception. And late in the third quarter, it was 4 minutes left in the third quarter. It was a first down. you know, which is like even making it wasn't a gotta have it play. And I'm not telling you Allen deserved a good outcome there because he sucks and that was a horrible decision. Just floats it up down the sideline. It was Jackson's second interception. And again, came with 4:06 left in the quarter. And the Patriots then took the ball and drove down for the field goal to make it 16-10. So, like, that was a game-changing kind of play. Big momentum changer.
Huge.
But it turns out that, according to Steratore, it shouldn't have been. Because Zay Jones there, the Bills receiver, had his hand on the ball as Jackson was catching it, and Zay Jones was out of bounds. So Steratore says, again, that should have been reversed. Should have been an incomplete pass. And I haven't heard word one because the Bills are just too fixated on the Josh Allen thing, I guess. I don't know. No one's followed up on this.
I wonder if anyone asked Belichick about it today now that
nope,
I think of it.
I just read the transcript.
You did check it. Sorry, did you just say that?
No, I did not.
Oh.
All I'm saying is that, you know, usually we've seen it because there's so much attention on replay and the pass interference and Al Riveron is catching so much heat that I haven't seen anything in Pro Football Talk. I haven't seen anything anywhere about the refs blowing that play, and really Riveron, because it went to replay. So New York had a chance to look at it. It's not just the on-field official, which that would just be a blown call that happens, but you had the full replay there to look at it.
I mean, what Steratore said to me made total sense. And in fact, in some ways, not unlike that play that happened with David Patton there years ago. Remember when he was passed out on the sideline on a fumble and the ball touched him?
You're going way back. I think it was 01, yeah.
Okay, so again, he was out cold, laying down. Half of his body was inbounds, half was out. There was a fumble and the ball touched him.
Yeah.
But because he was out of bounds, the ball was dead.
I think that might be the same thing. You're right.
So similar kind of thing, right? Like, and again, I think that was in Buffalo too,
yes,
right?
Yes, it sure was.
Yeah, they were both in the same place. So, like, that's the first thing I thought of, and I went, oh my gosh, that's right. What a great point. Like, if the guy's touching the ball and he's out of bounds, the ball's dead. That's
so,
it.
I'm just surprised. I mean, maybe Steratore is wrong. Has anyone report? I mean, I haven't seen anything. If anyone has, let me know.
I haven't seen anything.
But to me, that's the one if I'm the Bills fan. I'm the Bills. If I'm McDermott, I'm these guys. That's the one I'm bitching about. That was clear as day. If that's the actual rule, that was clear as day.
Yeah, and the magnitude of the call, too, you know, cannot be overlooked. Because, again, the Patriots did not score a point yesterday where they started with a possession on their side of the field. They didn't score a point. And, in fact, the Buffalo offense outscored them, if you want to get technical, 10-9.
Yeah.
Because Gostkowski missed the extra point. But the first touchdown drive started on the 50. They blocked the punt, and then that one was on their side of the field, too. So they didn't get a point on them. Buffalo started the possession on their own side of the field.
Okay, so there's that. Back to your phones. Ben in the car. Go ahead.
Hey, boys. How you doing? So real quick, if you go back and you listen to that clip, Steratore kind of contradicts himself at the end because he is, in fact, wrong. If you go back and watch, he says how J.C. puts one foot down with Zay Jones holding the ball. So it's not a completion yet. Zay Jones, all he had to really do was keep his hand on the football until JC put his second foot down. That's when the ball becomes live again. It's something. It's kind of a shady rule, but it's the ball is in no man's land until somebody is down with 2 feet, right? So JC Jackson catches it, plants one foot. Zay Jones has his hand on the ball and is out of bounds.
I think Steratore's point is once Zay Jones touches the ball, it's incomplete. It's out.
Right, because Zay Jones doesn't.
This is my point. It's a 50-50 moment because.
No, as soon as the ball's out of bounds, it's out of bounds. It can't come back in.
It overrules everything.
So
and
once
Zay Jones had 2 feet on the ground,
it doesn't matter. If he had one toe out of bounds, if a player's out of
bounds,
if a player's out of bounds and touches the ball's out of bounds, and it doesn't matter whether the receiver has 1 foot, 2 foot, it's dead. It's dead at that point. Play over.
Correct.
I mean, I think again, I've been in the car. All due respect, I was waiting for Florio or someone to follow up with Riveron and follow up on that play. That, to me, feels like the real blown call in the game.
I'll tell you, someone will follow up with Bill this week. Someone will. Because it won't totally, and I don't know if I say that now, you know, they missed the chance today. But that's the kind of thing Bill would go off on, right? I mean, he'd take his pants off on that one. He loves talking about that kind of crap. Seriously, doesn't he?
Here's Ryan in Norwood. Go ahead, Ryan. Ryan! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You do know the number, Will and Saugus, on the play the Bills fans are bitching about. Go ahead, Will.
Yo,
Will, you're up.
Off. McDermott, he's out of his mind. Micah Hyde, a little overrated. If you look, like Murray said, Allen initiated that contact. I know he tried to kind of
he was being held up, Will. There was someone at his ankles, right? There was someone tackling him around the waist. He did not initiate the contact.
Mike, come on, Mike.
Will, come on. He did not initiate the contact.
Watch it again in detail. He lowered his head. He initiated contact. I know you're not going to call the penalty on him, like Murray said, but...
He lowered his head. He did not initiate the contact. You think he was looking to get hit like that? What's the matter with you people?
He's not looking for it, but by the letter of the rule, and they don't call it, thankfully, but if they did... They would have called it on Josh Allen, but they'll never do that because he's a quarterback. They're never going to do that.
I mean, lowered his head, fine. Initiated the contact.
Yeah, with the helmet. Yeah, he did.
I'm having trouble with.
Go watch it in real time. I know. You think I'm nuts.
Murray, I'm not going to lump you in with others because I know you're a fair-minded person. I would never say that you would look at things through Patriots-colored glasses. You're more neutral than that. But I don't know why it's just not good enough to say that it was a borderline play and the people in Buffalo are overreacting. Which is exactly what I think it is. But now he initiated it?
And for McDermott, he should go take a look at the play that got Vontaze Burfict suspended for the whole year. Now, that is a dirty play. That's a play you get ejected for. That, a guy, especially with the history that Vontaze Burfict has, he should get suspended for the year. But what Jones did, stop it, please. Penalty flag, that's it.
Yeah, look, again, I agree on that part of it. Ultimately, it was a penalty. He got a flag. I beyond that. But the idea that Allen somehow...
He initiated the. But the great irony is, it was a win for Buffalo. You should be glad that bum got knocked out of the game. What are you bitching about? Back to the overriding question today with this team: if they're going to win more games like that, are you okay with that? Is Brady okay with that? To you and our long commercial-free segment next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sport.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
It's good to win, and whether we win 45-40 or 45-3 or whatever it was, say 16-10, they all count the same. We're just going to have to figure out how to do a better job on offense. Defense is, I know they're going to play great. They've been playing great all season long and try to score more points than we did today.
I can understand why Brady's unhappy. I don't want him to be happy scoring 16 points. But is he internalizing it? Does he need to be better? Or is he still sort of disappointed they don't have Antonio Brown? Is he unhappy with what he's been surrounded by? Hard to tell, because I think a little bit of that second thing has crept in here towards the end of Brady's career, because I think his willingness to work with young guys is less than it's ever been. And I just, second guess is beyond Brady's play. One is, the offense isn't working. Brady's, the well went ran dry of Brady going to Dorsett. Only two catches on nine targets. Before, they were like, 29 of their last 30. Something absurd like that. But Brady was off target to Dorsett, or they covered him, or they went in treating Dorsett like a number one option, which he isn't, and the Bills were ready, and so blah, blah, blah. It wasn't working. Wasn't working to Dorsett. Wasn't working to Gordon. Edelman's clearly not himself either. Okay, by the way, big drop on a crosser that would have been an easy first down.
Oh, he can't catch that ball.
On one of those drives. So it's like, this is Bedard's point. Everything sucked. Antonio Brown wouldn't have helped Julian Edelman missing that easy ball over the middle for a first down.
Gotta have that.
Gordon had a big miss in the first half coming over the middle for what should have been another easy first down. They had a couple bad drops.
So if Brady's maybe feeling a little bit down because of how Edelman looks, there I don't blame him. We're only 4 weeks in and he looks beat up.
Okay, but who's to blame for that? You could blame the team for not having a surrounding cast. They tried to get Beasley. They tried to get Humphreys. They both turned you down. Beasley would look nice on this team, by the
way. Yeah, he would.
Don't
yeah.
you think? Don't you be sure. a perfect little fit on this team?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think they'd have made Humphreys work, too. I'd take either one of them.
But anyway, so here's my one second guess, which is if you're going to act, if you're going to give Jacoby Myers a uniform, I mean, four snaps, zero targets. Well, what's really the point there? And I don't log this crap, but does he play special teams? Is he out there for, does he cover any kicks?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah, me neither. I'll check and see if he's on the special team snaps, but I don't think so.
I mean, so, I don't know. He was out there a couple of times that he doesn't on the special teams?
Nope.
Seems like a wasted ride. How about throwing him the ball? Seemed okay when Stidham was throwing him the ball. I don't know. At least worth a shot. If nothing else is working, that's one second guess for McDaniels. The biggest second guess for McDaniels, though, Pat's final drive. Bills are out of timeouts, and you're throwing the ball?
Yeah, don't get me going. And the other thing is...
No, I want to get you going on that.
Okay, so that's one. Because, again, your defense had dominated the game. So
again...
Milk the clock as much as you can.
Here's the situation. For the first time all game, Sony Michel put back-to-back runs together. Okay, so you get the ball with 5:19 left in the game. The Bills, of course, are out of timeouts. And I say, of course, because they're the Bills, and why would they have timeouts at the end of the game? They're going to burn them uselessly before then, which they did. So you get the ball with 5:19 left at your own 15. Michelle gains 8 and then 9 yards on back-to-back runs. The only two, it feels like back-to-back runs they had all day. They give it to him again on first down the next series, and he gains 3 yards. So tick, 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 tick. Now you're 2nd and 7. There's 3:28 left. The Bills have no timeouts. You try a short ball over the middle to Gordon. It's tipped, incomplete. Now you have 3rd and 7, 3:25 left. Clock is stopped, but if you run it, you take at least 45 seconds off the clock. You know, call it 4 or 5 seconds for the play, 40 seconds on the play clock, and the Bills have no timeouts. Instead, you try this deep wheel route to James White down the right sideline that had no shot. That was, what does Antonio Brown have to do with that?
Nothing. Again, and this is what it comes down to when you get to that stretch of the game and you have the lead. Are you trying to win it with your offense or your defense? And this is a game you had to win with your defense. The other thing I was going to say, and I want to go back and look, but after it would have been the second Michelle. No, you said he ran 3 straight times, right? The third one was on first down.
8, 9, and 3. Okay. The 3-yarder was on first and 10.
Okay, so after the 3-yard gain, I remember looking at the play clock and saying, why are they snapping the ball like 9 seconds on that?
They snapped it at 3:28, which would be...
Or might have been 7 or 8 seconds.
Yeah, so they had time on the clock?
Yeah, I wanted to go back and look just to double check, but my recollection was, what are they rushing for here? Suck every second out of this that you can, because it's the Bills. It's, you know, Allen or Barkley, a quarterback at that stage, it was Barkley, and you have a killer defense. What are you doing? What are you doing? I want to go back and look because my recollection was they snapped it with, you know, a good still some seconds that they could have bled off the play clock. The whole thing to me was very unpatriot-like.
So look, I'm telling you again, my headline today is good win. Good win, and you should feel good about it, and it was a test and they passed it. And so I don't want this little nitpicking here to take away from what I think was really a good day for them. I do. I think it was a good day for them. Not necessarily for the offense, but that's okay. That's okay. And we talked about it last week. Can we handle them winning a different way? Can Brady handle them winning a different way? But that being said, there still were little things here. Like the Pats defense, you know, excellent. Another excellent day. Huge day. They did get run on a little bit.
They did, yeah. They gave up a lot of yards in the middle there.
Gore averaged over 6 yards a carry. It was Gore had 17 carries, a 109, 6.4 yards per carry. So even though they had some great goal line stands and got off the field when they had to and were big when they had to, they also got gashed a little bit there in the ground game.
They did. Now, there was a lot of those yards came on one run, if you remember, right?
I think there was like 2 or 3. That
oh, was
big.
It? There was like a 40-yarder, though. There was. I want to say I'll go back and look. And so I remember thinking that, boy, they get slammed there a little bit.
And also, here's the last thing on my list. For the first time this year, Gilmore got picked on a little bit.
Yeah, he did.
You know, Brown got him. Brown got him on a deep in cut late in the third. And then this was the real shocker. 4th and 8, and here comes Matt Barkley. This is the play after, or is it 3rd and 8 or 4th and 8? It was the play after Allen got knocked out.
Yeah, Barkley's first throw. I think it was a 3rd and 8.
It was 3rd and 8. Yeah. It was 3rd and 8. It was after Barkley. It was after, what's his face? Allen got knocked out of the game. And he comes in, and Brown runs right by Stephen Gilmore.
Little lollipop down the right
side. Is that the one they called the PI, too?
And they called a PI. And so Gilmore got beat, gave up the catch, and had a PI to boot. And that was so that was surprising to see Gilmore. You know, they went after Gilmore a little bit on that.
He's been institutional knowledge.
Well, I don't know. He's been meh the last couple of weeks.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, he got even that Jets game. Who the hell was paying attention in the second half? But there was a couple of plays that was like, ooh, what was that? And he had a few of those yesterday, too. Still one of the best cornerbacks in the league, but he's dipped the last couple of weeks. I think that's fair to say.
Listen, he's a good player. And this is here's your dink comment of the day, if you're ready for this one.
Yep.
But if he's the best corner in the league, then the competition at corner isn't good enough.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's the position's not what it was.
Right.
If he's the best.
Look, he's a good player, but he's not like, you know, we're not talking about Revis or Law or one of those guys or Dion. He's not on that level.
There is no one like that left, unless you consider the guy holding out in Jacksonville. Lattimore had a really good game last night. He was one of them, but you're right. The position's not the same. There is one last little thing here, really little thing on my list. How do we feel about the new fullback? Did you watch him at all yesterday?
Okay, so I only saw one play where he and Michelle went in a different holes.
That's what I noted. I'm like, where is he going?
So I don't know who messed up in that one, but I feel like it's Jakob.
So where's this fella going? I did. I noticed it was down towards the goal line, maybe?
Yeah, they went into different holes. Johnson went one way and Michelle went the other. And I said, well, that sort of defeats the purpose.
Right, that's the whole idea. Michelle's supposed to follow you. You're supposed to go in the same place. That's the whole idea. He's blocking for you. You went, no. So that maybe that's the one play I noticed too. I wonder if the Dane, where is he from?
He's German.
The German.
Let me see if I can find out how many snaps he played. Couldn't have been a lot.
I'm curious if he knows exactly where to go. We were sort of downplaying the role of James Devlin last week.
He played 19 snaps.
It's like, you know, we just find another guy to go be a battering ram. But you do actually have to know where to go.
Yeah.
To batter someone.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you go to the wrong place, that's no good.
I'm curious if the guy knows where he's going. All right, that pretty much exhausts my list. What's on yours? And again, the whole thing about did they need Antonio Brown? Do they need Antonio Brown? We'll take your thoughts on all of it after Murray's 90-second update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.